WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. U.S. citizen Julio Noriega is one of 22 people in the Midwest who lawyers say have had their constitutional rights violated by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and President Trump. Noriega was arrested and detained by ICE in Berwyn in late January. At a press conference this morning, lawyers outlined how ICE agents have broken immigration law and called for the immediate release of the people who are still detained. Adriana Cardona Magigad, WBEZ's immigration reporter, was there, and she joined us in the studio. She began by telling us about the case of U.S. citizen Julio Noriega.
Basically, he's 54 years old. He's a Chicago resident, born here. He also has a learning disability, which affects his comprehension skills. And around January 31st, he was walking down the street of Cermak in Harlem, that's Berwyn, looking for a job. He stops to buy some pizza, and then like these agents pretty much spot him. They surround him, they handcuff him, they put him, they push him inside a white van where he sees other people also being handcuffed, and then he's driven around and for hours and hours and hours, and he's taken to ICE processing center in Broadview, Illinois. And there he almost kind of spends the night. And once the agents check his wallet and see that he's actually a U.S. citizen, they let him go. And they let him go and without ways to even get home.
Yeah. So this all started with him just going out to get a pizza for his family.
He was looking for a job, and then he stopped, just to get some pizza. Just like
get
a regular day, yeah.
And they don't check his ID until he's taken to this ICE facility in Broadview and is practically there all night.
That's what the court documents show, yeah.
Interesting. So talk about how Chicago lawyers then are alleging that immigration agents, they're violating the constitutional rights here of not just Julio, but these other 21 people.
Yeah, absolutely. So the lawyers with the National Immigrant Justice Center and the ACLU Illinois, they filed a motion against the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, basically saying that federal agents arrested at least one person without probable cause. And they're also accusing federal agents of making arrests without proper warrants and creating warrants in the field after the arrest. Yeah. And this is in violation of a existing settlement that was settled in 2022, but it was started in 2018. I can talk more about it.
You're talking about the Nava settlement, right?
Yes.
Yeah, tell me more about the protections that provides.
Yeah, so basically the Naval settlement is a 2018 class action lawsuit filed in response to unlawful arrests by ICE agents who used traffic stops and other tactics to make arrests without a warrant. And under the agreement, ICE officials can conduct a warrantless arrest if they believe an individual is likely to escape, but they must provide evidence. They need a probable cause for this.
Yeah. And the constitutional rights, I want to be clear that we're talking about here that lawyers are going so hard to defend here. Regardless of what your immigration status is, these rights apply to you. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And these are, the Naval settlement pretty much back then, it was like, you're violating the constitutional rights of people back in 2018. That's also when, right, you know, Trump was the president. Now they're doing it again. We're talking about violations to the Fourth and the Fifth Amendment. And, you know, which if, you know, if you, anyone can look it up and just see that, you know, you cannot be arrested with like unreasonable search and seizures. You have the right for due process. You can't just get picked up and detained and arrested and just targeted this way.
Yeah. This press conference that you just came from, Adriana, tell us more about what that was like. This is where they were sort of pleading for the, you know, for the case of all 22 people in the Midwest who have been affected by this.
Yeah, it was, I mean, obviously it's like just so, you know, heartbreaking to see the family, a family of, you know, in this case, Abel Orozco Ortega. He is one of the people, one of the 22 cases. And it's just hard to see, obviously, how this affects the family. When you remove someone who's working, who's, you know, has a business, who's providing for the family.
Yeah.
You hear the testimony today, and that was just pretty shocking.
Well, let's listen to what his wife, Yolanda, had to say.
Sí, eso es ser criminal, levantarse temprano, ir a trabajar, estar pendiente de su familia.
He is not a criminal. Is it a criminal to get up for work early in the morning every day? He doesn't have any vices, he doesn't use drugs, he doesn't drink, he goes to church. Is it a crime to get up early in the morning every day and work hard to support your family? I just don't know.
So we were hearing the voice there of Yolanda, who's the wife of Abel Orozco Ortega. Tell us more about his case. I understand he was arrested at his home.
Yeah, so he was detained outside his home in suburban Lyons without a warrant. Just as he was arriving home with tamales for the family, federal agents were looking for one of his sons, who is about 20 years younger, but they arrested Orozco Ortega instead. And instead of releasing him, they just decided to keep him there, handcuffed, and you know, according to the attorneys, they also make the administrative, like the federal agents ended up just kind of making the arrest warrant on the spot.
And what was the mix up there? I mean, do they have the same name? You know, sometimes fathers and sons are junior and senior.
Yeah, I mean, the name is very similar, but at the same time, they were just looking out to get, the federal agents were looking out to get pretty much anyone. And, you know, in this case, when they asked the father to show an ID, he ended up showing a TVDL, which is the type of driver license that used to be given to people who didn't qualify for a regular driver license. And so there was just, you know, a lot of unnecessary targeting and the desire maybe to, like, just arrest anyone at this point to fulfill kind of like this mass deportation campaign promise.
Right. And so now you write about these administrative warrants that the agents are getting sort of after they make an arrest, which sounds backwards to me, right? It sounds like something you should get before you're able to go ahead and make an arrest. Tell us more about them and what it allows them to do.
This can all be kind of like a little technical, but I, you know, really want people to understand that obviously, like if you have a, you know, if you're in your private property, you need a judicial warrant. And a lot of advocates have been saying that, like, you need to have a warrant signed by a judge.
Which is not the same as an administrative warrant.
It's not the same as administrative warrant. Yeah. If you are outside in a public space, you know, federal agents could make an arrest with an administrative warrant in the street or sometimes in a vehicle, but they need to have probable cause and they need to have this warrant. They need to have gotten this warrant signed on, like under the Immigration and Nationality Act. They have to have it issued. And they have to have this document in immigration court before they can actually go out there and make an arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And they just really need to make sure that they know that the person is most likely, you know, here without a status. And so they can't just pull out a document and just kind of like make it on the spot and just go with it.
And with the administrative warrants, I mean, they can't search their private property, right?
It just depends on, like, whether you have probable cause, I guess. And you have to really, what I understand is that when you cannot, if you're going to make a warrantless arrest, there's got to be any reason to believe that this person is likely to flee.
Okay, I see.
If there is probable cause of that, you have to be able to document this. So that's when it gets really technical and you have to be really careful there. But
you have to be careful about what name is on the warrant as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And just basically what they're saying is, you know, you really not have to know this case in particular, like a particular case to know that, okay, we have a reason to believe that this person is here without a status, and there is this particular person, we're going to make an administrative warrant. And again, you know, for that, a judicial warrant, you need a judge, you need to go through immigration court.
Right.
With this, you can have an administrative warrant that is, you know, made by an immigration agent, an official, but there's got to be a process to this.
Yeah, and clearly they're taking the route that takes them less time.
Absolutely.
Right? And so this morning at the press conference, the lawyers, of course, stating that the constitutional rights of these folks had been violated. What else are they demanding? What would they like to see in the immediate term?
Well, they want the those who are detained to be released.
Yeah.
They also want, you know, some of the people who've been released, and as far as I know, 19 were released on bond. They want that bond money to be returned to the people who already paid it. And they want, and for those who are still detained, they want them to be released without conditions, like, because in the end, they were not supposed to be arrested. They were not supposed to be detained.
Right.
So that's that. They also want more transparency from the agency. They want to be able to have, be able to know who has gotten arrested since January, like late January, when President Donald Trump got
January
elected.
20th.
Yeah, exactly. So they want, because they argue like, there are times, I mean, like in some cases, there was really like no records of these, and like people, so basically it's like they're relying on people coming forward and like just really kind of documenting what happened to them.
Right.
They need to have information and have that be released on all the people who've been getting arrested since, you know, in the last few months.
I mean, if they can get all of that together and get that information documented, do you think that what's happening here in Chicago and Illinois could set a national precedent? Because I don't think we're alone in this.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, like, this is happening in different parts of the country. And then when it comes down to, like, the laws, the federal laws that govern administrative warrants, I think that there's a potential to continue challenging, you know, like, the violations of this federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And the attorney said that they are definitely going to be pursuing and talking to other attorneys in different parts of the country to continue kind of like keeping an eye and making the government account, holding the government accountable.
Well, speaking of that, what are you keeping an eye on moving forward?
Oh my gosh, I'm keeping an eye on also trying to get more local data regarding the arrests that are happening. Obviously, this case, this recent motion and the 22 cases gave us a window into what we've been wanting to know, what's been happening. Obviously, I mean, there's just so much. But at this point, I really want to know what's happening to these families and you know, what other violations are there of their rights. And I mean, like, the immigration beat is just so huge.
It's
there's just
so much. Definitely keeping you busy. I can concur.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there for now. Adriana Cardona Magigad is WBEZ's immigration reporter. Thank you so much for checking in with us.
Yeah, thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. To keep up on the latest, make sure to subscribe to never miss an episode wherever you listen, or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.